Good morning, Penguin Radio. It's me, Lady Ace, and it's my show, The Curved Life. Today, I want to go over a couple of things that happened this past weekend, such as Midnight Mayhem, and introduce my guest co-host this morning, Dale Howard, as well as play some fun games, talk about diversity, and let's talk about sex and what that means in our current society, and so much more. All right, what happened this weekend? So let's talk about our school spirit. Did you see how excited the crowd was when men's soccer and men's basketball went for it at Midnight Mayhem this year? I don't think I have seen that much effort put into a Midnight Mayhem routine by either sport in a really long time. So I was super excited. I loved how men's basketball really went for it and like committed to being the boy bands of the 90s. And men's soccer totally went out and did ballet in front of the entire school. So let's give them a round of applause, shall we? Let's also let you know that Senior Night for Men's Soccer is this weekend, October 25th, and that's their last game here on campus, so please go out and support, as well as the first game of basketball season, women's, November 9th at 2 p.m. It's a Sunday, yes, and men's basketball on February 14th at 7:30 p.m. That's a Friday night, so go out and support our teams. So I'm gonna gladly introduce my co-host for today, Dale Howard.
How's it going, everybody?
No, he's a midfielder for our very own Penguin soccer team, as well as a senior and a captain on that team. And he was redshirting for a while on injury. You want to go into more about that?
Yeah, so starting as a freshman, I ended up breaking my nose and had to get surgery. And then following that injury, I ended up developing a slipped disc and two fractures in my back. And then two games after that, I ended up coming back and breaking my ankle and then having to get a plate and eight screws. And then this year, I ended up tearing my MCL, and I'm just back finally. So trying to enjoy the rest of my senior year and hang out with the guys.
All right, so in one moment, we're going to play a fun game I like to call Sex, Marry, Kill. But for a moment, why don't you enjoy Tegan and Sarah?
Do you need to hear your voice? Goodbye, I don't wanna feel the need to see your face. I can't live with all these things I would say. Never really know me, never.
And we're back. I hope you guys enjoyed that little preview of Tegan and Sarah. They are actually in concert. This is not me trying to, like, you know, get in a little edgewise for them, but I'm a big fan, and they're in concert here in the Bay Area on November 14th. So if you really like the music I play, you may want to go and take a listen. All right, so back to Sex, Marry, Kill. I'm going to give you three Jennifers, Dale.
Fantastic.
And you're going to tell me what order, basically Sex, Marry, Kill, all three. All right. So we have the Jennifers, Jennifer Hudson, Jennifer Lawrence, and Jennifer Lopez.
I'd marry Jennifer Lawrence because I think she's really cool, and all her interviews, are she seems like a homie.
I mean, it's between the big booty and the big vocals.
Yeah, I'll go with the big booty, and then the vocals are going to be put to the side.
That's the way it goes sometimes. All right, the Rachels, Rachel McAdams, Rachel Bilson, and then Rachel Wise.
All right, I need to think about that one.
These are the Rachels.
I'd say Mary.
You gotta say Rachel McAdams.
I know. Rachel McAdams, and then I'd probably kill, how do you say that, Wise?
Yeah.
I don't, but Bilson, she seems cute.
I mean, she does have a CW show, so, you know, she must rate well. No. So that's Sex, Marry, Kill. It's one of my favorite games. Do you have any for me?
No, not on the top of my head. I'm sorry.
No, it's totally okay. I totally sat down and was like, who should I use? All right, for my main topic for today, we're going to discuss diversity, because that's one of the big movements here on Dominican's campus, is to become more diverse. And one thing that I'm noticing is that there's a lot of clubs that are really sparking that idea of diversity. Pride Club, BSU, Cap Amelia, and the people that are in them. You don't have to subscribe to the labels or the ideals behind these clubs to join, be a part, or be respected, which I think is, like, amazing. And ASDU's push as a whole to join these clubs and really represent students that don't fulfill the stereotypes or the ideas of what it means to be members. So I think that's a really great move, but I wonder what it's like in sports. Like, have you seen a big change in diversity in terms of, like, sports or even sports team interactions? And
I think so. We actually have our first black player in the last 4 years, and he's like a brother to me. I met his mom, but I see it everywhere that it's getting better, and even for soccer, let alone, they do a lot really good at trying to make it known to everyone that, and, like, even before games, after games, like,
you know, I get it. Like, it's this idea of, you know, putting race, like, taking race out of the sport and, you know, really making it open to everyone, which I think is awesome. I have to say, at Midnight Mayhem, you guys cheered him on, like, No Tomorrow. I was, like, super surprised. I was like, wait, there's, like, a black kid in soccer? I was like, that's not just one of their friends or something like that, because they're going ham for him. So I thought that was, like, super cool. One thing I wonder is if you've seen, like, if it's affected your experience, like, even between the diversity of gender on this campus. I mean, you men are a little underrepresented from time to time.
Yeah. A funny thing is, there were our coach coming in actually coached the men's and women's team. So we got to see how he interacted with the women and how he interacted with the men. And I thought he did a really good job, because we are two different, not species, but there's different things that come and go, kind of thing. But I think he did a really good job at, like, catering to at least their needs and our needs, because sometimes it's just, I don't know, I think he did a really good job, and I think Dominican Athletics does a really good job at, like, making it less of a difference, and that we're kind of, like, all people kind of thing.
Yeah, totally makes sense. I mean, I guess for me, as a student who's a cheerleader, there's not a lot of diversity in my sports activity, but there definitely has been a lot of diversity in race, culture, you know, shape, form, all of that stuff, and even backgrounds in dance. So
yeah,
it's nice to know that doesn't just, you know, hit the fact, the like the parts of my life that, you know, have been affected by diversity at DU, but it's universal here on campus.
Yeah.
Do you think that we need to be more diverse in any particular, you know, like any majors, or you know, you're feeling like we need more male sports teams, or you know, less women accepted, or you know, like
yeah. I don't know about that, but
like the men to women ratio here at campus.
Well, personally, yes, but I mean, I feel like that's a little sexist as well, kind of thing. But yeah, I think it could be more. I think it's getting less and less, where it's like it's getting more equal. I think they're bringing in more guys, and I think not that they're bringing less girls in, but I just think they're hopefully trying to make it a little bit more equal on campus.
Yeah, I have to say, my experience has like been predominantly with President Mary Marcy, but she set out a lot of goals, and I feel like she's accomplishing a lot of them. I mean, the complaints alone from living on campus have lessened, well, besides for the housing crisis, but in terms of like Calarega and stuff like that, I mean, I definitely have seen a change in the way that our school has functioned in the last, 4 years now? So go Mary Marcy, and thanks for all of the positive change that you've helped create. So we're going to have another little fun bit today, and that is my TMI tag. So you're going to pick a number. We're going to go through five of them, but you're going to pick a number 1 through 50.
All right,
I'm going to ask you a question.
All right. So my soccer number is 14. My baseball number in high school is 23, and I'll go with 49.
Okay. So we're going to start with 14. What's your zodiac sign?
My zodiac sign is Capricorn. I'm January 19th. Nice. So I'm right on the edge of not being a Capricorn.
That's awesome. And you said 23, right?
23.
So have you ever been in a physical fight before?
Yes, I have. I've been in a couple, but I think I'm a different person now than I was maybe in high school and even as a freshman on Dominican campus.
So you've matured. You bridged the gap between, you know, fighting with your fists and using your words in silence.
Nope, exactly.
Which is dope. You said 49, right?
Yeah.
What is the last time you hung out with anyone? Minus me, because we're in studio right now.
I'd say last night I hung out actually with you again. And then I hung out with Chloe. She's on the women's tennis team, and we did some advanced experimental. We did some physiological psychology, and then I hung out with Kendra, that's on the women's soccer team. Little shout out for them for their senior game on Saturday as well.
Nice. All right, you have two more.
Do 3 and 13.
Have you ever had a terrible breakup?
Actually, I have a couple funny stories about breakups. My last girlfriend, I ended up dating for 6 months, kind of like during senior and all the senior activities and kind of everything. And toward the end, I think she kind of knew that I wanted to break up just going into college, and we were going into a big step in our lives. And we were at the park, and it was back and forth, and we were the whole high school like, oh, they're together, they're not, blah, blah, blah. So this was the last time, and we were sitting there in the parking lot, and I'm like, I'm really sorry, like, oh, we're moving on, kind of thing, and we're going in two different places. She was going to Kansas for soccer, I was going to Northern California, and we were both from Southern California. So I ended up breaking up, and then my car wouldn't start, and she was like, they're screaming at me still. And then I was only a couple blocks away from home, so I started to walk home, and she started to follow me, and then I started to jog, and she started to sprint, and then she started to scream, and a bunch of people in my neighborhood saw this breakup. So that was one of the bad ones.
That is a hard breakup to go through, man. I'm so sorry. I'm sitting here cringing. I don't know what I would do if a woman was running after me out of a park.
No, it was a little much.
Oh, my goodness. All right, you said 13. How old are you?
I'm 21.
Well, so you're legal to have a good time.
I'm legal to have a good time.
That is the way I've always put it. You know, 21's the age where it's legal to have fun.
Yeah.
So that's it for our TMI tag, and I'm going to take my traditional 10-minute break so you can enjoy some of the great music I have to offer this morning, and then we'll be back. Drove me wild. I would have hustled, swerving through the streets, over and over. I would have stole or rushed us to those greens.
Yes, I do. I believe that one day I will be where I was, right there, right next to you. And it's hard, the days just seem so dark. The moon and the stars are nothing without you. Your touch, your skin, where do I begin? No words can explain the way I'm missing you. Deny this emptiness, this hole that I'm inside. These tears, they tell their own story. Told me not to cry when you were gone, but the feeling's overwhelming, that much too strong. And I lay by your side, next to you. Take care of you. And I don't want to be here if I can't be with you tonight. I'm reaching out to you. Can you hear my call?
Who's to say you won't hear me?
This hurt that I've been through, I'm missing you like crazy. You told me not to cry when you were gone, but the feeling's overwhelming, that much too strong.
So yeah, as you guys know, that's like one of my favorite bands, Tegan and Sarah. But me and Dale were just talking about Sam Smith because of that Sam Smith song that played earlier, and that is also playing now, Nirvana. And he's having a concert December 31st. Tickets go on sale this Friday, and they're $55. And like, it's not even about the fact that we're going to a concert, but it's the idea of what that means in experiencing going to a concert and jumping out your comfort zone and seeing who you listen to in your bedroom live in their form, in their setting, and how that affects you.
Just the emotion, the passion. Yeah, definitely.
I mean, it's the reason why I'm going to pay $200 before I die to see Coldplay. I mean, it is definitely not just about them singing and being great. It's about, you know, experiencing that circle of like love that you just see in all of their concerts. So, I mean, I hope everyone gets a chance in the next year to at least see one concert, free or not. They always have them in the park in San Francisco. So pull out your computer, Google when a free concert is, and go and just experience, you know, the joy of having music in someone else's controlled environment. You're just a witness, you know? And see how it affects you. It could change your perspective on a whole lot of things. But to jump into our exciting topic of the day, let's talk about sex culture. What does it mean to be a virgin in this current society under these new social rules? What does it mean to be a virgin and how does it affect you? Dale, you have any ideas?
Yeah. Well, I think it's sad how we, or at least men, see virgins at least when they get older, because they think that they're less of a man than when it's not. Like, I love my brother and I think he's one of the most attractive and kind-hearted people in the world, and he was a virgin up till last year just because that was his decision. Like, he saw how much it really like changes relationships, and he just didn't really like it. And I don't see a problem with it, but I can see how, at least from a man's perspective, that like how people see them and how it's, they look like less of a man.
Yeah, I mean, I totally get that. I mean, I think one of the crazy things is that I got a question in my inbox this week asking me on Tumblr virginity and how it works, because she's a lesbian and she's not sure if, you know, she's a virgin anymore, because, you know, culture dictates currently that, you know, virginity is between a man and a woman. And what does that mean to the LGBT community? What does that mean as a whole? That question has been asked in two of my classes here at Dominican. Shout out to Alan Six for being so out there and asking like the crazy questions to the class. But she totally asked in one of my classes, can you define virginity? And some guy stood up and said that it's between a man and a woman, and that's all. And I turned to him and I was like, so I'm going to be a virgin till the day I die. This is the thing? And he didn't even know how to respond. He didn't even think about it, what it meant for somebody else, because he was only thinking about what virginity meant to him, which is great. And I'm glad that you can see the difference between thinking about it for a group of people versus yourself, because that's what it should be decided on. You know, like, someone should not dictate what it means to you to lose your virginity. You should be dictating that. If that means that you've lost your virginity the first time you ever enter in any type of sexual situation, or that you lost your virginity the first time it meant something versus it not meaning something, I mean, no one should decide what it means to you to be a virgin. You should decide that, because that's your body, your life, your heart, your soul, you know, going through that whole process, however you want to see it. And I just think it's really cool that some people are progressive enough to think that way, and others just want to ask the question. There's a new TV show that is probably getting a little on my nerves, because it's called Virgin Territory. The key goal, it seems, in this TV show is to isolate what it means to be a virgin and how you're going to lose your virginity and what steps you're going to take so that you are no longer in virgin territory. Like,
that's ridiculous. Like, that's absolutely ridiculous.
Like, why are we catering to media about a personal and private act?
Yeah, man? It shouldn't be a planned thing either. It should be something that should happen in the moment if it happens.
Like, the end game is to lose your virginity. And I totally know, under the age of 18, my perception was not this, you know, forthcoming and, like, open-minded, because I'm in a high school environment where you're, like, pressured to have sex. 20%, 26%. Lose their virginity by 15, 40% lose their virginity by 16, 49% lose their virginity by the time they are 17, and 70% of the population have lost their virginity by the time they're 18. That is blowing my mind. You're not even a full-blown adult, you know, like, if you're sleeping with somebody in certain states, it's considered illegal. I mean, I'm not saying that it should be illegal, but I'm just throwing it out there, like, that's a real thing, you know, like, so many of us are losing our virginity, and we're not even old enough to vote yet. And that's not to say that we need to be old enough to vote, but it shouldn't be like a pressure that before you graduate from high school, you need to have sex.
I feel like it's, especially in high school, when there's so much people talking about what you do and every action, like, people see, like, I think that's maybe even the problem, like, oh, you haven't lost your virginity. Like, I think that's kind of like a negative thing within itself, that people look down upon it.
I mean, here's my thing. And the sources that I'm citing are from the Kinsey Institute that produces some sexual statistics that I found online from the USA Today. But I thought it was, like, crazy how it said half of women lose their virginity before they even graduate from high school. They're not even scoring the men, because it would probably be completely different. It would be more than half. And that is what blows my mind. It also was talking about, you know, the number of partners we have. The average number of partners that a woman has between the ages of 25 and 44 is 4 partners. That means there's people that are way above and way below. While men of the same age have had sex with at least 6 female partners. Wow. By the time they're 25 to 44. Like, this is really going on.
Yeah.
And it's not bad. It's not to say that we shouldn't, you know, have sex. There have been tons of books, Brave New World, about how, you know, this idea of sexual release and allowing yourself to just live as a person in the world can bring about different types of euphoria. And it's kind of like getting high off in your own drug, because, let's face it, you experience so many hormonal things. Bursts of oxytocin and dopamine while, you know, engaging in this act. But why is there this pressure, you know, to have sex is my thing. You know, you should be able to lose your virginity whenever you want to. And this is coming from a girl who did lose it later in life than early in life. I was definitely over the age of 18. I grew up with a mom who was, like, not having it. We were having, like, open conversations and being super candid about sex in the kitchen in front of, like, everybody. So, we don't lie in my house. So, it was, if you didn't want to say that you were having sex under the age of 18 and get a look from my mother, don't have it. Don't lie about it. But, like, either be okay with talking about it or just sit back, hang, and wait.
Yeah.
And I think it's a thing where we're not even open about it. Because let's be honest, if we were open about when we started having sex with, like, family, friends, and in general society, you think we would be having it as young?
No, definitely not. No.
15, the number that currently is sticking in my head is 26% by 15.
Is that before in middle school? Like, that sounds ridiculous.
I knew growing up, there was an incident of a girl who's 12 years old who got pregnant at my middle school, and her boyfriend was only 16.
I can't even think about that. 1 in 4 people. Like, so 1 in 4 people that you knew in middle school. Like, that's ridiculous. I can't even, like,
you have just crossed the threshold of being a middle school student to high school, and you're, like, already bing bam. Mm, I'm afraid to know what the number was for 14-year-olds. Like, I'm honestly afraid.
Yeah.
Like, no. I think it's not published for a reason, because no one's gonna want to own up to it, because it's just not scary.
Not at all. That's. Wow.
I mean, I definitely remember stories in middle school of, like, that one or two girls that, like, slept with someone at, like, 12. One of my friends slept with someone at 12, and I remember saying to myself, like, what? I haven't even had my first kiss yet. Like, why am I worried about, like, you know, losing my virginity? Another thing is the higher number of partners you have, the more at risk you are for getting an STD or an STI. Like, why are we doing this to ourselves? STDs and STIs are on the rise. Like, I mean, you have to get checked out every time you have a partner these days, or at least they are recommending that you do so, or at least get tested every 6 months if you don't want to get tested for every new partner. But, you know, like, we're opening ourselves up to all different types of diseases and, you know, life choices that we're going to have to really take hard, fast into consideration. I had some statistics about STDs, and it just scared me so much that I didn't want to talk about it, but I'm going to throw this one out here. There is, you know, there is a really high level of people that are considering different types of virginity, and almost 45% consider any type of genital stimulation having sex. So now the question becomes, is losing your virginity, is being out of this virgin territory mean having any type of, you know, anything that leads from what I like to call, I learned this from Ellen Six, so this is another shout out to you, the Clinton debacle. I mean, it's clear. We all know what we're talking about when we're talking about the Clinton debacle. I mean, he clearly said he did not have sex with that woman, but now we're actually asking the question, did he? I personally believe he did. He did have sex with that woman, because that should qualify. What happened with Bill Clinton, you know, during his time in office should count.
Definitely. Because
if it doesn't count, you're saying that for people that have lifestyles like me, we will forever be virgins. We will die that way. We will never be able to cross this threshold of leaving the virgin territory that is so, such a big deal in our society. You can't be a virgin anymore. You got to lose it. Because if you're 25 and you're still saying you're a virgin, I mean, I have statistics that say only 8% of the female population are still virgins after the age of 24. 8%. So basically, if you're in that 8%, I'm guessing you're getting commentary like, so I'm not going to go there. She probably is going to be really dramatic, and it's going to be a whole lot, and I don't want to deal with that. And now it's a question of, do you want to tell people or not? And I think the stigmas around virginity just cause so many different, you know, crisis and thought process as well. You know, I had someone put it to me this way. When you get past a certain age, then it becomes a question of, do you want to tell somebody you're losing your virginity because you're afraid of how they'll react? So if you, let's say you're 30, we're gonna skew for it. You're 30, and you're dating a 28-year-old girl, and she tells you she's a virgin.
See, like, okay, this would be a different question like 2 years ago. So like,
give me both answers.
All right, so 2 years ago, I would definitely have thought, oh my gosh, like, she's going to be too uptight. Like, she's not going to, like, that's kind of the thing. But nowadays, like, I don't know. I respect a person that can do that. I mean, we live in a society that's sex, sex, sex. Everything.
Yeah, itself.
Like, no, exactly. Like, I mean, it's even at times awkward. Like, you know when you walk into a room and, like, for me, let's say, like, I have somebody, like, staring at me, like, with their eyes wide open, and then it's like I can't even have a normal conversation with them. All they're thinking is going right to one point.
Yeah, it's like I read a statistic from the same source that said 10 times a day we think about sex. Not every 10 seconds like they told us when, you know, we were going through puberty. Oh, guys, think about it every 15 seconds. Girls are like every 20 or something like that. But it's actually 10 times a day that we actually sit and think about it. Like, not, it just kind of, it comes up in conversation or something like that. But we actually are thinking about it and what it means to us and all that great, gory stuff. And we may be a sex-driven society, but, you know, we shouldn't have to have it as the focus, especially when getting in relationships. I mean, I'm guessing modern day Dale is not about that.
No. No.
It means a lot more. And I have a younger sibling, and I'm not going to air her name out like that because she doesn't deserve it. But she told me, we had a conversation when she was 16 because she was dating a boy. And I was like, so, you know, you guys have had the sex talk, like, mom, dads have given you the sex talk. And she's like, yeah, but I think I'm gonna wait, and I'm really gonna, like, wait. And I remember telling her, I said the same thing, and I'm 3 years older than her. So she was 16, I was 19. I was like, I said the same thing. I didn't hold to my deal. And it's totally okay if you do, and it's totally okay if you don't. Make the decision for you. And I'm proud enough to say that she's been in several relationships, and it has been the center of her breakup, and she's still held strong.
That's honestly incredible. That's really cool.
But then it makes me think, why is it the center of her breakup?
Like, it's because the guy, like, I think guys, especially, let's say 16 kind of thing, like, that's kind of their sole purpose. You know what I mean? Like, in high school, like, they're trying to, like, make sure they look cool in classes or make sure they look attractive and like in women's eyes. I don't know. Like, that's really incredible about your sibling. Like,
yeah. And I think part of the reason why I didn't lose my virginity in high school is I actually read this article written by a man in 17 magazine. It blew my mind. And he was talking about how awful his first time was and how all he wanted to do was take it back. And he ended up not having sex again until he was 25.
That's
like, it was that bad for him that he was just like, nope, never, nope, not gonna do this. He waited 9 years to have sex again.
Yeah. That's crazy.
And if I hadn't read it from a guy's perspective, I would have been like, oh, that's just girls, and girls are just, you know.
No, definitely.
But like, a guy saying it was just that bad changed my whole perspective. So for all of you guys who are in the virgin territory who are listening or are afraid, or this is a question, especially to the girl who asked me on my Tumblr, I think Dale and I are unanimous on this idea that it shouldn't matter. It should not be, you know, this big deal that you're having to seek out a relationship or a comfortable, you know, way of living so that you can lose your virginity. Because if it happens, it happens. And if it don't, it didn't. And it's not the end of the world. And pat yourself on the back and give yourself a hug that you can experience this, you know, exciting, crazy, pleasurable, whatever adjective you want to throw out there, moment with somebody that matters versus somebody that doesn't. I mean, I can say from experience, I waited a good long time for the societal norm. I waited a good long time, and it was worth it. It was worth it to wait than it was to, like, you know, go at it.
Yeah, the big reason why, like, I lost mine in high school, and I had sex with a lot of people in high school, like, but I don't know, it ruined my high school experience, truthfully, because, like, once you have that intimate thing with somebody and that special, whatever you want to call that experience, like, it, especially if you can't talk to them again, there's a reason why, like, in my opinion, at least it's said in the Bible that we weren't supposed to have it till marriage, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's supposed to be a gift. Like, it should not be taken just like, oh, I just did it with that girl. Instead, it should be like a gift. Like, that was a beautiful thing.
Kind of deal. And I guess that was something I held on to. I mean, there were a lot of sins that I was, like, afraid of committing as a child. But definitely the sex before marriage thing was something that, like, blew my mind, because I had a sister who ended up having my niece very young. And I remember her saying to me once, she was like, wait, because my daughter is both a blessing, but it was also a sacrifice. And God basically was teaching me in that moment that if I'm going to be a mature enough adult and have this moment with somebody, I need to be a mature enough adult and accept the consequences, which end up being positive because of my niece. So just consider all of the sides before you take this major step in life, because in our social society, it's a major step in life, but I think it's becoming devalued, and it's becoming things such as a new TV show. I mean, another idea to throw out there is, like, artificial insemination in this new TV show, Jane the Virgin. She was artificially inseminated. She's technically still a virgin, but she's pregnant. Is she really a virgin? I mean, I know she hasn't, like, had traditional, ideal sex, but, like, she definitely has had what the end result of it is.
Yeah,
it's all those questions being, like, thrown up in the air in our current world, ladies and gentlemen. And I think it's up for you to decide. Like, it's not my right to dictate someone else's life.
Not at all, but yeah, that's.
Yeah, I mean, you're, like, stuck, because it's just
like I don't know, like, where, like, what to say.
What?
Because,
like, there's no answer anymore. You know, I have been told by a lot of, you know, older people in my life, and when I say older, I mean, like, 40 plus, that a lot of things in our current society are being called into question by this new generation. you know, we are pushing the envelope on making decisions or defining things or not defining them at all, because we want to live our truth, not the truth of those before us, which is great, but it's also kind of scary, because questions such as what does it mean to lose your virginity, questions of what it means to be a good age of losing your virginity, what it means to participate in an act such as this in general, I mean, what it even means to send a text message, are all now changed and called into question for what, the first time, like, ever, on at least this large of a scale.
Yeah.
I mean, 16% of people send nude photos or videos.
That's crazy. That's actually, like, I don't know. Me personally, like, I've been trying to get away from technology, even yeah. though we live in a technology-based world and everything. Like, but I think it, at least in college, like, it wastes a lot of time. Like, I mean, yeah. I love Instagram, I love pictures, I love everything, whatever. But I mean, Snapchat, that's just another way of texting. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, pictures. Like, it's just we're just trying to find different ways of communicating with people, but just talking yeah. about whatever. Not anything in my opinion super important.
Yeah, I feel like you're calling me out right now, because I'm
No,
in a good way because I think that's the truth. You just spoke something that is like opening my mind up on a whole nother level, which is this is all forms of communication. And you know, I'm trying to jump into an entire different, you know, frame of mind, which is what it means, you know, to be texting and even having these types of social communications and what that means about sex and how it affects sex. But we're trying to communicate. We're using Twitter. We're using Instagram. We're using all of these forms of communication to say something that we can walk over to someone probably and say. Because I definitely have been in a Snapchat conversation and the person's like across the room. And I'm thinking it's funny in the moment, but why didn't I get up and say those things or make yeah. those faces to them or have like that actual interaction, you know, instead of sitting in the Snapchat. Granted, there are some things that you can't always capture, like
no, definitely not.
My yeah. friend playing in corn seeds this past weekend. I mean, not everyone could be there to witness it, and a picture is only worth 1,000 words.
Yeah.
Whereas that video of her like being five and enjoying it and it's like, yes, it was totally worth it. But you know, that's I'm throwing the question out there. How do you feel about naughty videos? How do you feel about this level of communication? This sexting trend that is occurring?
I don't know. Like, well, you can even think of things that are being private and not. Like, I mean, all these famous...
Yeah, the...
Famous, all the leaked photos on
yeah.
Twitter. Like, I mean, is everything really private? Or what,
what's up in the cloud, man? What's up in the cloud?
No, honestly, exactly. Like, I think things should be more private, and anything we put in technology, I don't think someday, I think people are going to be able to just hack into it somehow. I don't know. This is all a crazy thought, but
no,
who knows?
But it's totally valid, and I think it holds a major truth to our society. A lot of things are in question, and where is the boundary line? You know, like, is someone's personal photo, should it be released? No. I mean, I personally think no. That's where my truth is, and that's where I will probably forever lie on this topic, is I shouldn't have to share what I don't want to share.
No.
Granted, I do share a lot with my, you know, vlogging and the looks inside my life via YouTube, but that's by my choice, and I dictate how much or how little I expose, and I think everyone should be allowed to do that. So for you 16% out there who decide to send that naughty photo or video, why don't you consider the following? Do you really want that in the cloud? I mean, I'm being real.
Yeah.
Because as soon as it goes on your phone, you know it's archived even if it's deleted. It's up in the cloud already. Say goodbye to your personal life and in 5 years your kids possibly seeing you, because that is likely to happen.
Yeah. No.
I mean, let's be real. Kim Kardashian's daughter is going to have to see one day mom's video because it's a part of our current society.
No. Yeah.
Jennifer Lawrence, if she has any kids, they're going to see a photo.
No, it's... Or their friends.
And yeah, their friends.
You know, like, and that's... I don't know. That's... Things should be more private.
Like, yeah.
That's where I stand. Like, I don't know.
So, for all of you guys out there and Penguin Radio Land, because officially that is what I'm calling it right now, please take all of the things that I brought to your attention today in consideration, and even the things brought up by Haley Moon about date rape and the nail polish to check for roofies. What is sex? Can you define it? What does it mean to lose your virginity? And what does it mean with losing your virginity and sex in our current society in terms of technology? Please always feel free to drop any type of thing in my inbox via Tumblr if you want to be anonymous, or write me an email to ladyaceradio@gmail.com. Check out my YouTube page, and please listen in next week from 9 to 10 a.m. and hopefully I'll have another co-host. All right, have a great day. Bye, guys.